Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school
shopping. You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be voted best dressed before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yes. Right now, kids' clothes are up to 60% off.
60% off?
Yeah. The hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful active gear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Valid 7/28 to 9/2. Select styles only.
From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
We are the Forum for the Fans. Bleed Blue Show. The Ring Podcast Division with Ranger Proud. Bleed Blue Show. BleedBlueShow.com is the website. iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps, YouTube to download or listen to stream audio archives of this episode and other episodes of the Bleed Blue Show. We are joined with Frank, Ranger Proud, New York Rangers. Sir, how you doing?
Really good, Steve. How's it going? How's everything today?
Oh, man, I'm a little tired, honestly. It's just been a long day, but a little productive. Got out there and hit the trails, ran a little bit. I should have hit the pool, man. I felt like going swimming today, but I'll probably do that.
Are you keeping shape? Oh, my. Making us all look bad.
Like, I'll go a little bit of swimming tomorrow. I think that's what I want to do. I think I want to do that. What about yourself, sir? How was your day?
Crazy day at work. I was happy to get home, get away from the craziness, and come to the, well, to the family craziness. But, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Cool. Now, you guys got anything coming up this week? Any things with the family? Anything lined up?
The off-show talk. Yeah, next week we will be going to the magical world of Disney with the family.
The family trip.
I won't be around on next Tuesday because I'll be gallivanting with Mickey Mouse all over the place.
That's going to be fun, huh? So sunny Florida.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Do you guys hit the resorts or do you guys, in Orlando?
We hit all the Magic Kingdom and Epcot and Hollywood Studios. We make it a really full week when we go. I'll need a vacation from the vacation. But the good thing about that, when we come back, the kids
You're
are ready to go to school.
Real good out there.
And the week we come back, some World Cup hockey starts, so you get to start, get a little taste of the hockey season coming up. So something to look forward to there, too.
Yeah, you know, when you go down to Florida, you're going to be eating real well at those resorts, man. They know how to treat you well, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know how to treat us well.
It sounds jealous,
well.
Man. I kind of want to go. That sounds like definitely a trip. I'm actually, we've got a little vacation coming up my damn self. So I understand where you're coming from. I'm looking forward to it. The sun, a little bit of maybe some biking, some golf, and just hanging out, man. Just relax, man.
Just,
I think that's the plan.
You just the exercise guy. I'm thinking of going on vacation and just going and drinking beer and hanging out. And you're exercising and working out.
You got to mix it up, right? Of course I got to do that. You got to parallel park by the pool. Have your favorite brew, a little bit of maybe music, and just chill and relax and have some good company and just relax. I mean, that's what it's all about, man. Get away from the getaway.
That's right.
Now, the last where we left off last week. By the way, before we even continue, tell everybody here on the Bleed Blue Show how to find Ranger Proud on the social media and everything else.
Gonna find Ranger Proud on Facebook at Ranger Proud, which is my main site to get all the news out to everybody. And then we're also on Instagram at Ranger Proud, and of course Twitter at Ranger Proud. Like the page, you get a lot of Ranger news. Everything that I can find, I post on there, the good stories, the bad stories. Not really my opinions. I just put all the news out there and let everyone absorb it and check it out. And I think it's a pretty good page. It's growing nicely. And it's going to keep getting larger, and I enjoy doing it. So looking forward to the season to start. Instead of talking about stories, start talking about games and players and what we need to do to make the playoffs and keep on going.
Frank says, we post, you decide. We'll post
That's
it,
right.
You decide.
Ooh, I like that.
But when it comes to the post games here on the upcoming 2016-17 season, you know Frank's going to really let them have it, or you know, give them props when props are due, whether it's good or bad. Here, to discuss Ranger hockey throughout the regular season.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be no holding back. The real fans
that's
know if they played great or if they played horrible or let a bad goal in or if they tanked. So I'm not into sugarcoating it or trying to find the silver lining. If they play good, you're going to know they play good. And if they play bad, you're going to know they play bad. That goes back to when I used to watch hockey with Sam and JD. When Ranger fans were lucky. Those two guys never – I didn't think they lied. They didn't play the MSG game. When they were playing bad, JD would say, oh, baby, they were horrible. And when they're playing well, you get the same thing the other way, and that's how it should be. It shouldn't be Islander hockey. It shouldn't be Ed and Jig saying how great they are when they're losing 12-1. You have to be honest with the fans because New York has the best ones and the smartest ones.
Yeah, and then they're very on top of their teams, and not just the Rangers, but just all the sports, really. Where we left off last week with the goalie episode, we had some, a little VC talk. Now, I'll be honest, man, I didn't want to jinx it. Not to say I knew it, because of course I didn't know if the Rangers were going to have an opportunity to sign Jimmy VC from Harvard. But my thoughts was, I thought there was that Boston connection, especially with Hayes, with Kevin Hayes, that I didn't know about him and his childhood. How surprised were you with the Rangers being able to land Jimmy VC?
I was surprised that they were able to get it done. There was a lot of rumors of him going to all different places. And when you read the different media outlets and all, they were talking about him, but you didn't see a lot of pressure being made to sign him until the night that he became a free agent. Then, teams came out of the Islanders sent Tavares to go talk to him. And with the Rangers, from what I read everywhere, a big closing point, the person that really sold the team was former Ranger Chris Drury, who had a huge impact from what I've read everywhere of him signing with the Rangers. It was a really good push, and the one thing VC wanted to be assured about was that he wasn't going to be the savior. He wasn't going to come in and lead the Rangers down to the Stanley Cup and the Canyons of Heroes. He wanted it to be known, he was going to come on and be a part of the team, but coming out of college, he had a lot to learn coming into the NHL, and that's where Chris Drury sort of reassured them, and the Ranger organization played a part, and it worked out for them. It was never really about salary, because his salary situation was standard wherever he went. He could only get entry level. So it was more where he thought a good fit was, and he feels his good fit was here. So now we wait and see how that unfolds.
So yeah, the big city on versus all the other teams that were lining up to get him in those 2 days. Let me ask you this, though, because I saw a couple of Rangers fans, and they were excited. So what about from your end, from the Ranger proud end? What about what does this do for the fans? How much energized are they as far as this type of signing, as far as, off-season news in the NHL?
I think fans are excited about him. I don't think fans know him a lot. Hobie Baker Award winner, solid player. It's a big jump coming from college hockey up to the NHL level. I personally don't know if he's going to make the team or not this year. I mean, anything can happen, so you don't want to say no. You don't say yes. If he made the team, I would think he'd be a third or fourth liner. I don't see him breaking into the top six on the club. Personally, I really don't know a lot about him. After they signed him, of course, I read a lot and saw videos and so forth. It looks like he's going to be a good skater, a good two-way hockey player, and they just have to really see what they got. The Nashville Predators must have thought very highly of him because he was their number one draft pick, and then when they signed him, they traded him for Buffalo this year in July, and at that point, Buffalo really didn't have a chance at all at signing him, though they tried, and he became the free agent. So the scouts out there, believe he's going to be a really good hockey player, but you know how it is from college to pro is such a huge jump sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't see him, starting right away. It's going to take some time, get him developed. But personally, Ranger Proud, Frank, the fan, and you, how would you like to see him develop as far as a timetable, as far as making it up to the team, maybe finding a spot on one of those bottom lines to participate, be a contributor to the Rangers? It doesn't even have to be this year, but just to give it, how would you envision getting him developed?
I think he'll definitely need to play it hard for this season or two. There's not a lot of openings, not a lot of spots available on the Rangers to begin with. So it's a real hard lineup to crack as it is. Him coming in for the first time into a new organization, I mean, the Rangers training camp's going to open up in maybe 3 or 4 weeks. I think he'll have a good training camp. I think they're going to take a good look at him. I'd really be surprised if he made the starting lineup this year. Now, maybe if injuries come across and he has a good season down at Hartford, then, of course, you might see him come up. The Hartford rotation with the Rangers is a really good setup. What they implement at the NHL club, they really have going on down in the AHL. And it's been really successful the last couple of years. You can see what all the players that have come up that were down there. The JT Millers, the Jeff Fast, they've learned down there the system. They come up, the system is implemented here, and it works well with the team. And I think he's really going to need Vesey, that is, to get his bearings. There's going to be a huge jump in speed from where he's been to where he's going to now. And I'd be surprised if he played up this season. But I think down the road, it was a great signing for what it cost and what he should be able to bring to the team. But I don't see him, cracking the lineup early, that's for sure.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm kind of glad you brought up Hartford, because I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit on this evening's episode as far as the Wolfpack, the guys down up in Hartford. How closely do you follow Hartford, if anything, as far as the talent that we have down in the AHL?
I follow the Wolfpack, which is say I read some stories about them. I've been to one or two games when we've gone down there. But on the Ranger Proud page, my buddy Mike Bergen, he's my Hartford guy, and he's my Swamp River Rabbit guys, my Swamp Rabbits, excuse me, in the ECHL. Any news stories and so forth from down there, we get on the Ranger Proud page so the fans can see what's going on at Hartford and coming up to the Rangers and so forth. So we follow them along. I'm not going to say, I read every article I can on them and so forth, but we try to keep up with what's going on, especially with goaltenders like Slavsky and all, to know who's going up and who's coming down and how well they're playing, because in that position, you always want to know what you have going on in the minors in case anything should come up. So, but we do keep an ongoing report and stats and game logs of what goes on at the Wolfpack.
Mm-hmm. And of the guys that came back and forth last year, the talent, were you, even last year, were you satisfied of some of the play when guys came up, some of the game action they were to display? Were you content on what we were bringing to the table from Hartford and some of these spot time on the ice?
Yeah, I don't think the Rangers are just going to get better this year. With regards to players coming up, they have a really good transition from the Hartford Wolfpack coming up to the New York Rangers. There's a lot of interaction. Hartford's really close to New York City, so a lot of times the GMs go back and forth. So they know their talent. They know what they have down there. So whenever a player comes up, there's always more pressure on them, because normally a player getting called up means one of our starters got hurt. In a long-term status, and you're hoping, can this guy carry the team? I mean, we had that a couple of years ago when Skavsky came up, and he proved to be a really solid goaltender for the Rangers, but then unfortunately he got hurt, and then he sent back down to the ECHL, and then he came back up to Hartford. So you never know how good you have it until they come up and stay up with the club. But the Rangers have always tried to have a good foundation in the AHL level, because it's very important to the production of the NHL club.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. Now, how we're looking, man, we're about a month out, preseason hockey. We got that first game versus the Islanders almost about a month away. As far as, the teams are only playing, we're only playing teams within our division in the preseason. But what kind of looks you want to see as far as the play on the ice? What do you expect in these preseason games when we get to that point from a month from now, after, we're shaping up the roster, we're shaping up the continuity. You mentioned the world hockey stuff going on. What about as far as we're about a month out? I know you're dying for Rangers hockey to get on to watch. It's been a long summer for you. What about
been a long,
as
first
far
time
as,
that's horrible. It's just been a long time since the Rangers have played a hockey game. So, some preseason's a funny thing.
But I do know what I do kind of like every now and then, and this goes for all the teams I watch. I do from time to time go back and watch some of those Rangers games from earlier in the year. Like I'll go back and watch, just go back and watch the shifts with certain players. I'll keep an eye on JT Miller or keep an eye out on Kevin Hayes. I'll go back and watch certain key games in the regular season. I haven't done that in a couple of weeks. But are you that type of fan too? As far as you're going back and look at the tape to see where we can get better, or you just have a vivid picture in your mind of what actually happened in that regular season even in the playoffs?
I'm not the kind. I don't watch replay of hockey games much or often, just because I'm one of those people that if I know what the final score is and all, I kind of get bored or restless with it. Watching the players is something else. I enjoyed the kind of season that JT Miller put out last year. I did enjoy the kind of season Kevin Hayes, the other person he spoke about, put out last year. I think he's the one that's on the bubble. I think it's going to be a different Ranger team than we had, a lot of changes, and I think that's what they're going to try to develop come preseason. Preseason hockey nowadays, I think, is a little bit different. There aren't too many players playing for roster spots, maybe one or two, that we're going to try to see if Buchanan can make the team. When he coming over from Russia now and coming up, he's supposed to be really fast. I think he's the person that could find a lineup spot. I think the Rangers really need that kind of offense that he could provide, and overall they need offense. In the preseason, believe it or not, I'm looking more towards what the defense does. They just need to totally improve from where they were last year. I think to get good defense, it leads to good offense, it leads to a lot of confidence. Never mind Lundqvist making a big save, but defense and clear on the puck, just doing the basics. And I think that's what all preseason teams are looking for, especially in the East. A lot of teams have changed. Some teams haven't done much. There aren't a lot of games. We play the same team a couple of times. I think we played Philly twice. I think they played the Devils twice. They don't really do a lot of traveling and so forth. It's mainly, practice and work.
Defensively, I guess with these preseason games, what about AV? You think AV's looking at it? He had to rank the top three areas he wants to just play around with, speculate with, and the first three, the top three things with the Rangers in the preseason. What would that be?
I think Stoll and Girardi could be lumped together and need to have a much improved season.
He's
going to want to really get to take a good look at his Zimbardo job. He's supposed to be a really fast, spicy player to put the puck in the net. New team, new environment. Playing at the Garden is going to be a big jump for him in play. And, I hope that we have the same consistency with Kevin Klein that they had last year, because he's really going to need to step up big again. He seems to be the most consistent person out there, believe it or not. You're always looking at the way the season ended and the way the season as a whole was. Offensively, they need to score a lot more goals 5-on-5, and their power play needs to step up. As always, it's with every team. It's nothing new that you're going to hear. Their penalty killing was horrible last year. It looks like they improved it on paper this year. And that's, I think, what AV is going to have to look at. It's all pieces. It's like a giant puzzle. You can't get it all done at once. They're all professional hockey players. They don't know how to practice. They know how to play. But it's putting it all together and playing it at a certain level and consistency that makes teams win or lose. Hot streaks, look at the Penguins that we talked about last week.
Correct.
Consistency is what got us to the Stanley Cup final and to win the Cup. The Rangers are going to need to find that. Sometimes you don't find it in preseason. How much of the guys who are playing in the World Cup is going to have an impact too? Lundqvist isn't going to play a lot in preseason because he's going to play all these games for Sweden, as is, Zuccarello and Stefan, Ryan McDonough. You hope that they get a better start in the NHL season because they're going to be playing some high-intensity hockey early on in September.
Okay, now here, let's get to some interesting stuff. How do you see this thing? If we had to look at this from afar, we'll probably readdress it again, maybe in the preseason. But as of right now, on paper, what the roster is kind of looking like. If you had to rank it right now, pre-rank what the teams are looking specifically in the Metropolitan. I'm not really worried about the Atlantic. Just our division, the Metropolitan. Where do the Rangers currently rank right now?
That's a tough question, Steve.
Yeah, man.
I don't think the Rangers improved enough in the off season right now. I think they more or less stayed where they were, except for a couple of little minor moves. I see the Rangers making the playoffs. I don't see them not making it, but I see them being that 7th or 8th seed to get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
With a little bit of help from other teams, you know, hopefully slumping too. They weren't able to make these moves to keep up with, you know, what the Penguins have been doing. I mean, like I said last week, I thought the Devils have been signing some decent players. The Islanders have continued to be a strong team.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rangers were the 3rd seed last year.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been 2nd, and we don't know if the Islanders tanked on purpose. And it doesn't matter. Where you wind up is where you wind up. That's, you know, you play, like Mark Stahl said last year, you play to win every single game. You don't know about where you wind up or who you're playing in the playoffs with.
Who's ahead of the Rangers?
Making the playoffs in that level, mid-pack.
Okay, they make the playoffs. So ahead of them, I'm going to say, you know, you can say yes or no. I'm not putting it in particular order as far as finishing, but right now on paper, the champs, the Stanley Cup champions, the Penguins.
The Penguins are definitely ahead of the Rangers.
The Capitals.
On paper, the Capitals are ahead of the Rangers. I mean, they had an incredible season. I don't know if they'll have another great season. They haven't made a tremendous amount of moves, but I would put them ahead of the Rangers. Keep going.
The Islanders.
Oh, I'm very biased to the Islanders, so I'm always going to say they're behind the Rangers. But from a non-fan standpoint, they're right where the Rangers are. They have a good hockey club, but they didn't make many moves either last year. This is a make-or-break season, I think, for John Tavares. If he's going to carry that team into the 2nd or 3rd round, he's really got to start doing it now. Personally, I hope he doesn't, but, you know, that's just a little bias on my end. But I think, you know, the Islanders are right are there. I think, you know, the Rangers are still better than the Flyers, Carolina.
Jersey's in it. Columbus.
No, the Rangers are better than Columbus. They're better than Toronto.
Better.
I mean, definitely better than Buffalo.
Oh, that's
they're
in the Atlantic.
Club.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the whole.
Yeah, no. I'm just looking at the Metropolitan. So
the Metropolitan. I mean, if you just go with the Metropolitan Division.
Yep.
They're a 3rd or 4th place team. They're not better than the Caps. They're not better than the Penguins.
I think the Islanders.
The Islanders could be ahead of us, so that really pushes down in 4th. And then who's left? Philly, Carolina,
New Jersey,
and Columbus.
Yeah. I would have them in 4th, too.
Go ahead.
No, I would have them in 4th, too. That's kind of where I had them when I was thinking this out. I'm just not sure about 2 and 3. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to try to go all out in the regular season. I could see Washington kind of exploding again. Maybe not to the degree last year. But I think they still have a team that could be very good in the regular season. I think the Islanders, I'm not saying they're better. I mean, you are what your points are. So I think I could see the Islanders ahead of the Rangers. Currently,
what are they?
How they're constructed.
I said the Islanders had about, what are they, 45 wins last year. The Rangers are 46. I don't think Washington's going to get 56 wins again this year.
No.
Had an incredible
season. I think they'll come back. They'll come back to the pack a little bit. They were really on such a streak, and you hit those strides early on, but they fizzled off after that Philadelphia series, after they got to Philly. They went into a hotter team that was familiar with them, and I think that's what it came down to. That they weren't scared of them.
Oh yeah.
Matter of fact, the Penguins played the Capitals actually very well in the regular season too. But But no, I agree with you, man. But here's the thing with the Rangers: do you think they get back to 100 points? I think I'm seeing them more in like the low 90s, maybe mid 90s.
Yeah,
about 95.
I see them. If you're comparing last year to this upcoming season, I see the Rangers only getting maybe 40 wins this season. Not 40.
So
they had 46 last year. I don't know if they're
going
to pull out 46 this year.
Okay. All right. So we're on the same page. Okay, now let me ask you this. What about the special teams? What about the power play advantage within the division? Just the Metropolitan. The power play advantage going off of last year, if you want to go off of that, that's cool. Like, whose power play do you fear the most? Or who has the best power play combination, first team, second team, that, you know, if we had to stack it between our team versus Washington or Pittsburgh or Jersey or Carolina or Columbus?
Oh, I think Washington and Pittsburgh have the best power plays. Ovechkin's like unstoppable on the power play. He has that shot, and no matter what you do to defend it, it finds the net. It's great. And if you just watch a game, if you're just going to watch a game and you're not a hockey fan, just watch Ovechkin on the power play. Because he scores from the top of that circle with ease. He has an incredible shot. On the other side, the Penguins, Malkin's great on the power play. Crosby's great on the power play. Chris Letang's great on the power play. Don't look at the Rangers' power play because I put them like at the bottom of the conference. They don't have a quarterback on the power play, the Rangers. They really don't.
Well,
they don't have that one
Yandle
guy that
even.
You can say – Who is that one guy in the Rangers you could say, oh, he's going to – who's the Brian Leetch from the New York Rangers that come on a power play?
Well, good question. Who is going to be the point? Now that Yandle's down in Florida, like who's going to run point?
They're going to see it as – some fans didn't like Keith Yandle. I like Keith Yandle when he was with Phoenix, and when he came to the Rangers, I thought he had a little bit of trouble adjusting and all that. It just took time. He wasn't the key man, so it was a lot of adjustment. But you look at the way he ended last season and the way he played in the few playoff games he had, they are desperately going to miss Keith Yandle on the power play. They don't have one. Ryan McDonough is not the same player he was 3 years ago. When he put that C on his chest, I don't know why, he has not carried the team the way you would hope he could carry the team on a power play. The Rangers really don't. One of the better power play players the Rangers had was Derek Brassard, who was traded to Ottawa.
Yeah, he's gone.
Really don't have. I mean, if you look at some of these other teams, you look at the Islanders, Tavares is their power play guy, one of their power play guys, so Foso and some others. You know, Philadelphia has Giroux. And then you look at, you know, the Rangers, and nobody could really say, wow, you know, when he's on the ice, something's going to happen. They have potential, but they haven't shown it in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, something, that power play goal comes in huge when you're in a tie game or you're down a goal with 5-6 minutes left in the game. And they just never seem to find that puck to get in the net.
So, looking at our team, the Rangers. So if, now the Brassard is going on. We're gonna. Who I guess if you had to predict it, with what kind of combinations you want to see work with as far as skill set setting up at the point of the attack at the blue line, you want to see. I guess I could see Stepan. I could see McDonough. Definitely Zuccarello.
You're gonna have to throw Nash in there whether he scores or not.
That's the fifth one. That's the fifth one right there. Yep.
That's the guy.
How effective could that unit be?
If they put the puck in the net early, they could be really effective. But all of those guys except for Zuccarello were totally snake bitten last season. I mean, Kevin Klein probably had the best shot power play, and he's not really who you would think would be on the power play. But one good thing is you won't see Dan Boyle on the power play doing more or less nothing like he was last year. Because AV just really liked playing Dan Boyle, I mean, in any aspect. And this year, I mean, with him gone, Yandle's gone, someone's going to have to step up. You know, maybe Brady Shea will step up and be that power play guy. Good skater, good shot. Heck, McElrath always hits the net when he takes a shot from the point. AV just has given him a little bit more confidence to play him. But I still believe that is going to be one of their tough thoughts. That PK got better, but I don't think that power play is going to be that much better. But you want to know something, Steve? Nash puts the puck in the net a couple of times early in the season, and it all changes. He gets that confidence going, and he'll be a totally different player than he was last year. That's for a
you
lot. Know, thing with
the power play, so how much stock do you want to put into as far as you want it? We need it to be effective to be a good team, or we could do without it? Like, how do you
can never do without it. You can
I'm just looking at the scale.
No, but you know what I'm saying? If your power play is not effective, your team is going to struggle every game. You got to look at how the man advantages work throughout the NHL. It's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
The Rangers and any other team for that matter, you need to have an effective power play to be productive, especially when you get into the playoffs. Those are just goals you just need to score on. You need to take advantage of any little mistake the other team makes.
Yeah.
Looking
yeah.
for things, you know, it gets you that early lead, it gets you that late tie, it gets you into overtime, it gives you the opportunity to win a game. And if the power play's constantly in the bottom tier of the NHL, that's why the Rangers sometimes always seem to be struggling to win a hockey game, win a playoff game, or even tie up a game. All those points lost because of the power play, it really bites at the end of the season when you look at it. You know, it's like an overtime loss. I remember 2 years ago the Devils had like 13 overtime losses. That's 13 points that, you know, would have gotten them into the playoffs. The same thing
yeah.
with a power play goal. You really need to take advantage of it, especially late in games, which is not our strong point.
If we were comparing power plays within the division, you got Washington ahead of us, Pittsburgh ahead of us. Just because we have the teams ranked, so you know, overall record wise or point wise, with the teams doesn't mean that that's where the power play ranks versus other teams within the division. You said the Rangers
Correct.
Is middle of the pack with the power play versus other teams with the power play.
No,
I
think the Rangers
top
are,
half, bottom half.
In the division, bottom half. The Rangers are in the seventh or eighth spot in the power play.
So I definitely put.
I mean, I think the Devils this year with Aiden Keller Hall and some other players
yeah.
will have a good power play. Columbus seems to have a good power play, but that's normally all they have.
Yes, that's all they have. I mean, I know they got Jenner
yeah.
on that. They had Atkinson and Seth Jones from that used to play for the Predators.
Seth, you're right.
Ryan Murray, guys like that.
For them.
They're
but,
fun team to
you
watch.
Know,
and in certain,
yeah,
certain situations,
they're a feisty team. They're a good team.
Yeah,
they're a good team
exactly.
to watch. They had a horrible season last year compared to the year before.
Correct.
But that's just based on that on you know, goals scored. But like I said, when you look at the whole breakdown, it's funny when you look at the stats the way. The positions lined up was the way
mm-hmm.
their stats were. You look at the goals that the Rangers scored. They scored 236. That was third in the division, and that's where they wound up. Other than the Columbus Blue Jackets, whoever a team's goals for was in total was where they lined up. Columbus had 219 goals for. They wound up in eighth place. Otherwise, they would have been in sixth place. Everyone else kind of fell in that order. That was just the way the season was last year. It's, you know, scoring it, especially teams, is a big part of the hockey game. It adds to confidence. Confidence is hockey. You remember the year and when Nash had 42 goals two seasons ago, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
he was hitting the net from everywhere. He was driving to the net. Every time he touched the puck, he felt like it was going in the net or it was a great opportunity. Then you look at last year when he had no confidence in the injuries, and it was the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the power play is.
Now, we had that towards the bottom of the division as far as the power play itself. Now, if we was the penalty kill unit, now, if we was to take our unit, and I'm not saying – let me look at it like this. Our penalty kill guys, what four you want to throw out there just on a one-man advantage, like, you know, based off the skill set, who would you want there out there right now?
I like Stahl and Klein,
mm-hmm.
and I like Zuccarello and Stefan.
Okay.
They're a solid, not that you see that often, small plays. You know, the first thing is to get the puck out of the zone, then worry about shorthanded goals and things like that. Really aggressive on the puck, really fast, and
mm-hmm.
smart. That's what I like. Normally, it's weird. The Rangers always had good penalty kill until about two or three seasons ago. They always had good feisty, and then it just like a lot of the other parts of the team, it just started going south on them. And I don't know if it was because of the age of the defensemen, because the players were trying too much because they weren't scoring goals. Sometimes you just need to keep it simple. Just shoot the puck out. You don't always need
yeah.
to have you know what I'm saying? You don't always need to be trying mm-hmm. to score a shorthanded goal because then you get a turnover and all of a sudden they're coming down.
And you get
slapped.
It could go against us. Correct. Correct.
You know,
so
a lot
if
of
I was
times the shorthanded opportunity comes about a good, strong play out of your own end. So
who's power,
they
who's
should
power
have
play,
a really good penalty-killing team.
Who's power play within the division you fear the most going up against our penalty-kill unit? I mean, is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be Pittsburgh? Then I guess the Islanders in that order?
Who they're going to struggle against?
Yes.
I think this year the penalty-killing is better than it was last year, just with some of the acquisitions that they made and all. I don't know if it'll be better than the Capitals or the Penguins, but I think the penalty kill would definitely be in the top tier of the division, and within the top four for sure. Maybe top three. That's just in our division, not in the whole NHL. But I can't see being as bad as it was last year. I just I think the Rangers are going to change their outlook on the, they put such an emphasis in the offseason on specialty teams. And they made improvements on the penalty killing, not so much on the power play, but they're definitely aware of the whole situation. And that's what they want. I mean, that's the first step. AV has to know. And he's got a really good guy on his bench, like I said last week, with Boogaboom, who's a very good penalty killer and a really good solid defenseman and knows how to really be like a stay-at-home defenseman and keep the pucks out and keep the net clear. And all of that leads to good penalty killing.
I mean, you got to get stronger somewhere in the special teams. If it can't
you gotta
be the power play, you got to keep it.
Yep, you're right. And penalty killing, they improved. I think they improved. I don't know how Zibanejad was, if he was a penalty killer or a power play guy. I really didn't see enough about him. But just based on what you hear about his speed, you would think he's a good penalty killer. You know, they really compared him to how Brassard was, a little bit faster, a little bit smarter without the puck. Brassard was good on PK and power play. So I'm thinking he's going to kind of fill those roles. So you just got to think that with their acquisitions in the offseason, the PK might be the most improved, which you hope it is.
And if you prove the PK, and you know you do your even strength thing, that should save you in a lot of situations. But my thing with that, along with just regular your defense hockey, at the circles, at the line, along the boards, your forecheck, you know, and forechecks even if you're on offense. But my thing is, I should have brought this up last week, but one thing I want to see the Rangers do a little bit better. It felt like a lot of the opponents, even in even strength hockey, they let off a lot of shots on goal versus a lot of teams got a lot of shots more. You know, we kind of touched on it, but how can we improve that area of just limiting this? I always had a theory of, I don't want to give the opponent more than 10 shots a goal per period. Like, you should keep them under 10 on a good night. How do you feel about the way the Rangers, as far as, like, whether it was even strength, power play, just giving up a lot of just free shots? And then probably why we kind of had Lundqvist where we had him. You know, he was a good goalie, but he was seeing a lot of shots, man.
Yeah, he saw a ton of shots. You know what I know something? It's team play prevents the shots. You have it's three zones. And from a defensive zone playing last season, they weren't strong. There was always a sloppy play, a bad pass up the middle, not covering a point man on a shot, not clearing the net out in front on rebounds. And it piles up. It's like quicksand. Just keep getting sucked into it and sucked into it. And then you're not making any more plays that will get you out of that situation. The penalty killing, well, if that improves, it's going to be less shots. The other thing that people don't realize is if the Rangers have a better power play, the other team won't be as aggressive to take penalties against the team because they know the power play is good and it's going to haunt you, like what the Capitals had. You notice where a lot of the way the teams played against the Capitals, they didn't want to take penalties against the Caps because their power play was so effective. So if your power play is better, then as the Rangers are driving to get the puck in the corners, the other team isn't going to take as many liberties because they don't want to get a penalty called on them because they're worried that the Rangers' power play will score a goal and put them down in a hole. The flip side to that is the Rangers' power play isn't as good. So you know something? I'm going to take an extra hook or a hold because my penalty killing can beat their power play, you know, 80%, 90% of the time, and that's what I'm looking to do. So you know what I'm saying? It all kind of follows one another. It's such a team sport in that aspect. But I did notice that with the Rangers a lot. The Rangers weren't a very aggressive team to begin with on the offense and on the forecheck. And teams didn't mind taking that extra penalty, being a little bit aggressive. Because they got a penalty called against them, we're going to kill it off most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to change.
What about within the division? Do you have a not outside of AV? What coach in the division you kind of, you know, I respect that guy. Do you like Barry Trotz in Washington? Do you like Bill Peters?
Absolutely.
Down in Carolina, or Caviano in with the Islanders? Like, what other head coach, or even Sullivan with the Penguins? Like, who do you like within the division? Who has the coaching advantage? Is there a coaching advantage? Is it just slim to none, or is it closer? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I don't know how much of a coaching advantage there is. All these guys have been around so long. I mean, Mike Sullivan, the Penguins, were with the Rangers for so long. Then he goes to the Penguins and he wins the Cup. Did he do that much difference? Yeah, I'm sure he did, putting players down and making lines and all. But once these guys are on the ice, they're the ones putting the pucks in the net. They're the ones that have to make the defensive coverages and all. I was always a big Barry Trotz guy, so I like. What Capitano's done with the Islanders, that's where you see a coaching philosophy that changed the team. The Islanders went from being really slack to now that they're back in the story. They're back talking, and that's what you need. So I like AV. I don't have a problem with him, other than I think he changes his lines too fast. Sometimes he doesn't give his lines time to gel and to mix and just to get to know each other. But that's also because they don't score a lot of goals. And sometimes, and I'm sure I'm a fan, and I feel it, how long do you wait before you change your lines? There's no set way. With the Rangers, you know, normally you have one or two plays and you try to build your lines all around it. Once again, the Rangers are struggling with that. So you go to the Penguins, you got Malkin, you got Crosby, you play your lines around, you got Phil Kessel. They were able to make lines up and you knew they would work out. The same thing with the Capitals. You know, they have Oshie, they have Ovechkin, they have a lot going on, they have Backman. There's a lot going on those teams. The Rangers have good players, but they don't have these big, big goal scorers. The team has a whole bunch of second-line players. If you're really realistic about it, they have good, solid hockey players, but they don't have many 25 goal scorers on a team.
Yeah,
Brassard and Zuccarello led the team last year. Brassard's gone, and you're putting all the weight on Zuccarello now. Who can handle it, but is he really going to be a 35, 40 goal scorer? Not going to happen.
So
I think, you know, coaching has a lot to do with it, but a player's ability is what, you know, is always ahead of that.
Yeah. I mean, they did have their fair share, though. I mean, I see what you're saying as far as with the Rangers. I mean, when they really needed a crucial goal, it's kind of like it never came this past season, more often than not. It's more of the timing of the goals. I thought they had their fair share. I know their goal average was pretty good, on par with the league's average. Within the division, they were better. They were top half as far as getting the goals that they needed. I just thought that they gave up a lot of bad goals, if anything. And I think
they scored 19 more goals than they gave up. They scored 236, I'm reading, and they gave up 217. Now, you look at the second-place team, the Penguins, they were 42 better. And forget about the Capitals. They were 59.
Oh.
They were plus 59 on that. That's just
they just
not
going to
happen.
Man.
But believe in saying that, the Rangers don't get that big goal. They don't get the goal that changes the tide. They don't get the goal that gets you from down a goal to tied. At least you know you're going to get 1 point out of the game. And it goes the other way, too. It might be a tied game, and the other team gets a deflection off Girardi, a deflection off Stoller. Lundqvist misplays a shot. The Rangers miss an empty net, and they come down and score on a 2-1-1. It happens more times than not. It's weird. And what's all amazing about this conversation tonight, Steve, is that we're talking about a Ranger team that I'm ripping all night that had 46 wins and 101 points.
Just to keep track. You have to do that just to keep track.
The regular season record doesn't do anything in the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's all about the playoffs. It really is. It's a weird sport. You play this 82-game season to get the best seed, you know, for the playoffs, but then all those numbers are thrown out. The Rangers were, you know, out in the first round with the same problems they had that got them through the regular season. But when you're playing in the playoffs and it's the top 18, the top eight best records in each conference, it's a different hockey game, a different playoff game than it was 10 years ago. When it was just the top, you know, the top four from each division. You might have had a team in the playoffs years ago with a losing record. You'll never have that with the new format now.
Yeah.
And that's where the Rangers, as good as they were record-wise last year, they had a lot of flaws, and they really came out that second half of the season when they were really struggling to stay in. You know, they were in second place almost all year, and then they dropped down to third, and they were only 2 points ahead of fourth. So a lot went on that second half. A lot of their weaknesses really came out, and they definitely came out in the playoffs.
Yeah. We're up, Frank, Ranger Proud, we're almost out of time. One more time, my man. Tell everybody how we can get in touch with Ranger Proud on social media, get in contact for all your news and articles that you're going to share with our Rangers.
We want everyone to like Facebook Ranger Proud. Trying to get more likes on that page, get the page with a little bit more popularity and so forth. I post things that I like to read on the page. I know it's a good page. I just put all the news out there and let everyone read it and see what it is. We're on Twitter at Ranger Proud and Instagram at Ranger.Proud. And I hope
Sounds
you guys
good.
Like the page and keep taking a look at it.
And Frank, my man, enjoy the family vacation. We'll definitely look forward to talking Rangers hockey and we get more closer to the start of the preseason. We're out of time. Rangers Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, The Bleed Blue Show. Follow the episodes on iTunes, Podcast Republic, tune in your Stitcher apps to hear the Rangers, the Rink podcast with Ranger Proud and myself. We're out of time. We're out of time, man. Enjoy, man. Have a couple brews for me, man.
Absolutely. You know I will.
Sir, no doubt. Share the show.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car, because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. And hey, you know what else you don't see? You don't see me leaving for work in the morning, because I missed so much time with court and everything that I got fired.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school
shopping. You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be voted best dressed before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yes. Right now, kids' clothes are up to 60% off.
60% off?
Yeah. The hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful active gear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Valid 7/28 to 9/2. Select styles only.